This is the Friday, July 26th, 2024 version of the market analysis segment from Market to Market. The weather is helping support grain prices, while cutbacks in purchases by world buyers have traders keeping an eye on prices for beef and pork. A note here, we are recording on Thursday due to changes in our production schedule. For the week, the nearby wheat contract lost a nickel and the September corn contract added 16 cents. Soybeans tested the 20-day moving average as the trade looks for more information about August weather. The September soybean contract bumped up 38 cents, while September meal put on $17.60 per ton. December cotton shrank by $1.76 per hundredweight. Over in the dairy parlor, August Class 3 milk futures rose 24 cents. The livestock market was in the green. October cattle improved 5/12 cents, and September feeders improved 2/12, and the October lean hog contract found 3/25. In the currency markets, the U.S. dollar index lost 2 ticks. September crude oil got 78 cents per barrel. COMEX gold subtracted 43.20 per ounce, and the Goldman Sachs commodity index was down more than 8 points to settle at 554.35. Well, joining us now are two of our regular market analysts, Jeff French, founder of Ag Hedgers, and Ross Baldwin, hedging strategist for agmarket.net. Thanks to both of you for being here today. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
All right, so I'm going to start with a big story. It happened on Sunday. Maybe you heard about it. The political landscape is changing in the United States. President Biden dropping out of the race and Kamala Harris likely taking his spot. So, Jeff, do you think that that news has impacted the markets this week?
You know, uncertainty will always impact the markets. Markets never like the uncertainty. The row crops, I don't think the announcement affected so much, but if you look at wheat or the crude oil market, those affected, you know, it went, you know, pretty much straight down. I mean, crude oil is down $8, $9 here in the last week, and wheat continues to sell off. So it feels like those markets are signaling that if it is President Trump, who would be elected? Obviously, he's promised to end that conflict in Ukraine and Russia in the first week. And he's promised to drill, baby, drill, which would obviously reduce the costs of crude oil. So I think if you look at those two markets, those were affected the greatest.
Ross, what about you?
I agree with what Jeff said. The row crops, given the calendar right now and the seasonal time frame, I think the bounce we've seen in corn and beans is more driven off the forecast. This is really our first bout of an extended forecast where we have warm and dry weather. I don't think it's terribly concerning in the big picture, given the ideal growing season that we've had. But just with what Jeff said, wheat and crude oil, they've reflected more of the political landscape. But as far as row crops and even the cattle and pork industry, I think they're back to just, they're trading more of their fundamental story.
Okay, Jeff, let's start with wheat then. It has had a rough time lately. What will it take to see some kind of rally with wheat at this point?
Well, I mean, it's got to search for demand, number one. But the two big wheat stories this week were the spring wheat tour kicked off earlier this week up in the High Plains, and they are finding fantastic yields. In the 30 years that the wheat tour has been taking place, this is the best yields that they've found. They've found anywhere from 54 to 56 bushels per acre. They will have the exact number end of today here. But the best yield that we had in North Dakota came back in 2022, and it was 50 bushels per acre. So we're going to increase that by 5 or 7 bushels. So it just goes to show you that when we do have moisture, we can produce some crops. And it's probably going to be the best wheat crop that we've seen up there in our history. And then you come down here in the plains, it's been the best wheat crop that we've had in the last 8 to 9 years.
So potentially record-breaking crops here in the United States.
For the spring wheat,
yeah,
for sure.
Spring wheat. What about what's happening in Ukraine? Because we're hearing, and other parts of Eastern Europe, we're hearing about maybe that some of their crop isn't as good as we thought it was. Is that going to impact the markets in any way?
It potentially can. But I mean, it's nothing. And we saw China come out here. They're going to have one of their best wheat crops as well. So the Northern Hemisphere has not had really too many problems here this growing season. There hasn't been that one spot that has burned up or you know, that big thing that takes yield and bushels down. We just have not seen that.
Well, wheat isn't the only grain under pressure. What kind of weather story then will it take to get corn up?
Well, I think we're seeing it here. And I don't think, you know, this week, it was the first week since the mid part of May that we've actually seen a change of sentiment. You know, we've been hammering this market lower here for the better part of 2 months. The crop was getting bigger. We kept on getting rain. There was definitely no temperature problems. I mean, it's been a very ideal growing season. And the potential is still huge there. But we do have a change in sentiment here. We are going into a little drier, hotter time period. But, you know, what's going to take us catalyst? I think you're going to have to see continued dry weather, limited rainfall. And then we need to have the funds, which are record short for this time of year, to shake out some of those short positions. If we can see a close above 427 on a weekly basis, I think that would look very encouraging. So, you know, I'm not bullish by any means. This is a start, but the potential is still there for a massive crop.
Do you think, Ross, that the lows are in then?
For corn,
yes.
No. And for soybeans, no, I don't. I would just go back to what Jeff's saying. The growing season has been as ideal as you can remember for several years. And while the funds are, they've been pressing a record short or have been record short, the corn and soybean markets, that it's due for a bounce with this 10-day forecast being hot and dry. But at the end of the day, the potential is just massive for this corn and bean crop. And that's going to continue to hang over this market. And given the seasonal window that we're in, you're not far from harvest happening. And so while the funds could get a little scared over the next 2 weeks, I just don't see a big enough catalyst coming or enough damaging weather that could set this crop back far enough to where the funds don't defend this position to an extent. You could certainly see them cover more of these shorts, but at the end of the day, I don't see there being a catalyst to where they cover a large portion of it and ultimately want to go long. I think they maybe cover some over the next couple weeks, but they'll defend this position.
I want to go to social media for our next question. This is from Mike in Iowa. How high can we keep inching up on the new corn crop?
For December corn, Jeff threw out 427. I think 425 to 430 for December corn if we get a rally up to there. I don't see us going much beyond that. I really struggle to see us going above 425 over the near term here ahead of harvest. Just given the sentiment, the big crop coming, we know it's going to be a big crop. It's just a function of how large will it be. And at the end of the day, the farmer is still the big long out in this market. So as the funds cover this short position that they have, you're still going to have farmers selling that's going to mute the funds buying. And every day that goes by, the calendar is working against the farmer to where they don't have to, but they will move this crop. Especially in years of big corn crops, the farmer always empties his bins out ahead of a big crop. So I just see there's just still too many headwinds for the grain markets to see December corn move too much higher from where we're at today.
Okay, so wheat and corn farmers, this has all been pretty tough news for them, but this has been really good for the price of cattle feed. So talk about how this is impacting live cattle.
The cattle market, it's had an extremely good week here so far. August live cattle are up $5.80 on the week. August feeder cattle are $3 higher. We had a friendly cattle on feed report here last week that showed placements coming in about 3% below what the average guesses were. The cattle market's been extremely interesting lately, where futures have really underperformed relative to what the cash markets have been trading at. So this has been today's trade. We traded up to 9-month highs across the cattle market, which is a great sign to see. Back to your question on the price of corn and what that's been. I mean, it's certainly been a relief for the cattle guy as our cost of gain has dropped dramatically versus what we've been dealing with these last couple of years. How's that impacted? It's definitely supported the price of feeder cattle, number one. Cheap cost of gain is supportive for these feeders, and we're seeing that with record high feeder cattle prices. The other thing that cheap grain has done, or cheap feed, it has added to the carcass weights that we're seeing. And so we have cattle weights at all-time record highs. We've consistently been running 25 to 30 pounds above a year ago, and that's 100% attributed to the cheaper feed and cash prices and expensive feeder cattle, but yeah. They all go hand in hand.
Yeah, right. Jeff, I want to go back to now the grains again. So let's talk about, let's talk about soybeans. So we've been talking about this dry and like kind of heat that's coming our way. A lot of forecasts now are showing that it's going to stick around for a while coming up soon. So is that what will direct bean prices in the next week or two?
Absolutely. Okay. Beans are an August crop. They're pretty much a weed up until the month of August when they're starting to fill pods. So, yeah, I mean, if the weather stays extended hot and dry, you could definitely see beans move. I mean, beans typically move in dollar increments.
Yeah.
And they've had a 55, 60 cent bounce here. If we can get above 1087 in that November contract on a weekly close here tomorrow, I would look for that thing to move up to 1140. But again, you're going to have to see continued forecasts of hot and dry because the potential is there. I mean, we are entering August with a good moisture profile. These crops look very good when you look at the condition ratings. So if we come in here and we get a forecast where it's dropping the temperatures and showing some more rain, personally, we're out defending these prices. A November $10 bean put for 10, 12 cents a bushel here, get us through the month of August. I think that's good risk management.
What do you think, Ross?
I agree with that. I mean, for beans to have a much more of a rally beyond what we're seeing, it's all about the forecast. And I keep going back to the calendar, but the calendar is working against the market to rally too much with harvest right around the corner. And at the end of the day, with what this bean crop looks like, you would have to do a complete reversal on the weather to start to damage this bean crop, corn crop in a meaningful way. So I agree with Jeff. I mean, producers still need to be looking at defending these rallies, selling these rallies, protecting against the downside that's more than likely looming out here with these large stocks to use ratios that we're looking at for both corn and soybeans.
What about, let's talk about China. So we know that weather and China often impact beans. So they're buying less from us. Will we start to see them buy more U.S. beans soon?
I would be in the camp of no right now. Prove me wrong that China is going to come to the plate. If you're going to sit here and say that, China's going to start buying new crop beans when they're so far behind their normal pace today, I think you're setting yourself up for disappointment. And there's a greater risk that China doesn't come to the table in a meaningful way over the next 30 to 60 days on new crop beans that I think you got to be in the camp of defending that they don't come to the table right now.
Okay, what do you think?
We have a new marketing year beginning September 1st. And if you look back through history on the Chinese commitments for the last week of July, right now we're at a 19-year low. So the new crop sales have been very slow. Old crop, we're going to probably meet our USDA expectations. Again, we only have about 5 weeks until the 23-24 season ends. But very slow start to the Chinese purchases. And the question is, if they're not going to buy after a $2 dip sell-off here, when do they come?
What are they waiting for?
Yeah. What about exports of corn and beans? Are they going well?
Again, the old crop have been keeping up with the USDA expectations. We will meet that. September 1st, we're going to begin a new marketing year. And as of right now, the sales are pretty disappointing.
Okay. I want to ask you quickly about cotton because you sometimes talk about that.
Sure.
So it's been a tough time for cotton farmers. Is that going to continue? What will it take to reverse that market?
Well, the market needs to find demand, and that's what it's searching for. It traded down to 67.50. That was a multi-year low here this week. We got the export sales. They were actually net reductions, meaning they were cancellations. So there was countries canceling previous purchases. So it's just in a free-for-all right now. But we need to hold that 67.50. But right now, the demand, it's a market that is searching for demand, and we just have not found that yet.
Okay. All right. So, Ross, you said something I want to ask you about in your newsletter this week about feeders, that they continue to underperform relative to fats. Why?
Feeders are, when you look at live cattle and feeder cattle and really most commodities, feeder cattle are one of the most volatile commodities that you can trade. The volume's lighter, and they have massive daily limits. The daily limit on feeder cattle since the CME increased them recently is $9.25. That is not for the faint of heart to trade. The managed money traders, they have been long feeder cattle. Feeders have largely been stuck in this range here, August feeder cattle, with 254 being big support on the downside and 263 to 264 on the top side. And we have just been chopping around in this range over and over again. Now, live cattle here recently, they're at nine-month highs with today's close, August live cattle. Feeder cattle, if you go back to what their May high and their February high was, they were 265 and 272. Today's close was, I believe, around 258 for August feeders. So it shows you while fat cattle are at nine-month highs, you still got feeders $7 to $10 off of what their yearly highs were. The reason for why have they underperformed, I think feeders there for a while when they got up to 272 back in, I believe it was February, maybe they rallied a little too much, too fast versus where the feeder index is. But there is no question that feeders still have a bullish story out here. You still have cash feeder prices at all-time record highs. They're not pulling back very much. They haven't. But I think when the avian influenza story hit the market in April and May, and we saw extreme volatility in the cattle markets, I think that is largely why the futures markets have underperformed between both live and feeders versus where cash has been trading. And I think you've got a managed money crowd that they were a good size long back when that story broke. They still are staying long because the fundamentals they're bullish. They're as bullish today as what they've been. But I think you've got a managed money crowd that is still just a little apprehensive, cautiously optimistic. But while feeders underperform, I think it's because of the extreme volatility in feeders, and they're just kind of walking before they run on building back into a much larger long position than what they currently have today.
Okay, we've got about, 45-30 seconds left. So producers, hog producers, have really seen a bounce back. What will that continue?
You know, we had that big sell-off, and then we've come in here the last 2 weeks. We've hit the 50% retracement. We're $10 off the lows. I think as a producer here, you got to look to hedge and lay off some of this risk.
Okay. It has been great talking with both of you. We have more to discuss, which we can do in Market Plus. But thanks so much to Ross and Jeff for joining us today.
Thanks, Brooke.
Thank you.
All right, we are going to pause this analysis and continue our discussion about these markets, as we mentioned, in Market Plus in that segment. And you can find both analysis and plus on our website of markettomarket.org. The first place this program appears is on our YouTube channel. You can stay in the loop by subscribing to the feed, clicking on the bell to get notifications of new content, and then let the technology work for you. Find us at Market to Market on YouTube. Next week, we take a look at the story of the nation's first almost forgotten female veterinarian. Thanks so much for watching and have a great week.